young people, amen, stop wrestling and stop thinking about, amen, what's going on out there in the world. Amen. Enjoy what you're doing now. Enjoy being in church. Enjoy singing in the choir. Amen. Enjoy serving on the usher board. Enjoy the praise dances. Enjoy, amen, what we have here for you. Because one of these days, amen, praise the Lord, and God knows I hope I live to see it. When these little ones grow up, huh? Amen. And they come to see the old man on a crutch, amen, long beard. Huh? And say, you may not remember me, and you might not even be able to see me because your eyes are so dim. But you told me, amen, to live the good life. You told me to be smart. You told me, amen, that don't go out there and do things, amen, that people out there in the world is doing. Amen. And even when I heard you, amen, I didn't like what you told me. It made me angry, but something about what you said, amen, caught a hold in me, amen, and I want you to know that it helped me be what I am today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want you to know, man, I thank you for it. I appreciate it. You're telling me the truth. I didn't like it at the time, but you told me the truth. I got angry at the time, but you told me the truth. Hallelujah. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You got to know the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody tell the Lord, thank you. Come on and tell him, thank you. Oh, I think back, amen. Those old mothers and those old fathers, amen, praise the Lord, that would sit me down. And God knows I didn't want to be preached to every time I sat down. But Sister Payton, I didn't have no choice. Amen. And I would sit there and listen to them. Amen. And I said, why do they have to tell me that every time I see them? But they kept on telling me, amen. In other words, they pounded it in this thick skull of mine. And when I look back and see where God has brought me from, I can say, thank you. Many of them are going on to judgment. Hallelujah. 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 But thanks be to God that somebody cared enough to tell me, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Hallelujah. And God kept me from getting in trouble. Oh, I thank God for it. I thank God, preacher. I thank God. Hallelujah. That I never spent a night in jail. I thank God. Hallelujah. That I'm still married to the same woman that I've been with for 51 years. I thank God. I have 4 children. Hallelujah. And God has blessed them. 2 of them in ministry. 1 working in the church here. 1 working in the church in Houston. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear you. Now you say, he's bragging now. Well, if you call it bragging, I'm bragging. I thank God. I thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if God would do it for me, he would do it for you. I said, I'm going to say it again. If God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. But you got to have a made up mind, especially I'm talking to parents now, that you're going to deal with this issue of raising your children. People that tell you, amen, you're too strict on your children, you're too hard on them, you tell them, these are my children. Huh?
Come on and give God a hand praise, for he is worthy to be praised. The presence of the Lord is here today. Come on and give God some praise, for he is worthy. Come on and give God some praise, for he is worthy of all the praise. Are you ready to give God some glory? Are you ready to exalt his name? for he is worthy of all the praise. God, I give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street, Leesville. Service times are Sunday schools, 9:50 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, 11:15 a.m., Sunday evening worship, 7:45 p.m., Tuesday Bible study, 7:30 p.m., Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m., prayer Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Lazarus, Jesus' friend, his two sisters was cool with Jesus too. Jesus used to kick it at their house and eat, the scripture tells us. They cool with Jesus. They so cool with Jesus that when Lazarus gets sick, they make the assumption Jesus would come right away. Jesus is in Bethany, but when Lazarus gets sick, they say, would you come right now? And your Bible says, as opposed to coming right now, he purposely procrastinates. He comes 4 days later. Matter of fact, when he gets there, Lazarus already dead. He waits. Did I tell you that Hebraically culture means so much when you're teaching the Bible? Culture means so much. You have to know culture, because in our culture, Sister Kay and all these great funeral homes, boy, here's what they do. When somebody dies, they embalm you. And you say, well, he died today. When the funeral going to be? Well, next Sunday, because my family got to come from California. So the funeral home embalms him and holds the body until next Saturday when everyone can get here. Not so in Hebraic culture. Matter of fact, even today, Orthodox Judaism, if you die Monday, the funeral's Tuesday. Whoever can't make it just can't make it. They don't believe in embalming. So you die Monday, funeral's Tuesday. You die Wednesday, funeral's Thursday. So there is no embalming. So, of course, the body begins to decompass, to deteriorate. So Christ gets there 4 days later, and Lazarus has already died. Of course, they are perturbed and ticked off. One of them went off on Jesus. Matter of fact, both of them did and said, had you been here, our brother wouldn't have died. They had some black in them. I can see it. I'm telling you, boy, I don't care, God or not. God or not, you ain't say that when you was eating our food coming over our house, talking about you had to pray. You had to pray, Mr. God. Where was you at? And you couldn't even show up. But what they didn't know is sometime he comes late on purpose. But don't worry about it, because whenever he shows up, he will show out. Can I get a witness? As a matter of fact, if you've been waiting on God and he hasn't come yet, lean on somebody and say, it's not bad enough. Go ahead. He wants it to get so bad that when he resurrects some stuff, can't nobody get the credit but him. I wished I had seven people at one of these campuses that would feel me. Did I tell y'all that he had been dead 4 days? So undoubtedly, decomposition has set in. Then Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. But wait a minute, did I just tell y'all that he waited 4 days, they didn't embalm the body? So we know what's going on. By now, the epidermis and the skin has fell from the bone. And undoubtedly, some worms have ate some of the skin. But then wait a minute, some cat has ate the worm. But then wait a minute, why must I chase the cat? Some dog. I thought there was some cues here, had ate the cat. But then some coyote had ate the dog. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, the coyote spit up the dog. The dog spit up the cat. The cat spit up the worm. And the worm spit up Lazarus. Because when God called my name, whoever had me gotta let me go. Whoever I was hooked on gotta release me. However detached I was, I'm coming back together. Would you lean on somebody and say, he's calling me back together? Go ahead. That's not even my sermon. Sit down. I'm not preaching about Lazarus. Lean on somebody and say, that will preach right there. That will preach. That will preach right there. But that's not even my sermon. That's not even That was for free. That's not even my sermon because, okay, remember this. Remember this because I'm homiletically tripping today. I'm homiletically tripping. I'm going a different way. So remember that Jesus told him, come forth. Would you please take a mental note that the brother that had been decompassed and deteriorated, Christ tells him, come forth. Remember that. Take a mental note. It will be important before I'm finished. Ephesians 2:1 is crazy because Ephesians 2:1 says, and you have he made alive, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, traditional King James, and you have he quickened who were dead. But then John 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I think there's this sort of glaring to me, a kind of glaring juxtaposition between Lazarus physically and me spiritually. Because both of us were dead. Christ brings us back. Wait a minute, both of us were dead. Him physically, me spiritually. He calls us back to life. But then John 10, Jesus says this, I came not only that you may have life, but have it, life that is, more abundantly. The question that begs asking is that if you've been brought back to life, where's your abundant? Where is the abundant life? Are you walking in the abundant life that God has called you to? Jesus said, I came that they may have life. He could have stopped there. But then have it more abundantly. I don't care what anybody says. God wants me to live a good life, not a drama-free life, not a pain-free life, but to be free in this life, to produce something before I die, to get some goals accomplished, to shake it up, to help some poor people, to change my last name in the earth, to make Vernon mean more than it did before I got here. He called you to shake it up, not to be twisted every day, tripping every day, bound every day. What area of your life do you feel bound in? A lot of brothers are sitting here saying, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Whenever you're tripping on, will you finish strong? Can you retire? Can you meet your monthly bills? I just said your monthly bills. We ain't talking about going to Hawaii and walking in purpose and helping your mama buy a house. We just talking about trying to make sure you don't get put out of yours. We too grown to worry about that. We too blessed to worry about, are the lights going out? No, I'm too saved. I'm too intelligent for that. There's no way that was my goal when I was 12 to keep my lights on. Goals have to be more lofty than that. Are you bound financially? Can you go anywhere? Well, maybe not anywhere, but somewhere this summer without it throwing you back for 6 months and enjoy your family? Sometimes we don't just need prayer. We need to get out of Cleveland. We need to go overseas. We need to see some blue water. Is that demonic and unspiritual and carnal and superficial to want to take a nice vacation? Eat what you want to eat, sleep where you want to sleep? You can't do that. That's not God's will. Is it spiritually? Are you tired of everybody crying on your row? Everybody's crying during worship. You're looking around saying, I got to keep it real. I believe in God, but they seem to feel something I don't. And I ain't trying to be phony up here, but I don't be feeling what all these people feeling. What do they have that I don't? Why do I feel bound spiritually, like there's a disconnect between God and I? Is it relationally? Is there somebody that maybe you even kin to that takes you to a place that makes you feel bound? You felt great before you called? But because you have this kind of freaky loyalty to even people that's kin to you, you're in relationships that are toxic and draining and parasitic. I'm preaching to somebody. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. I'm preaching to somebody, whether you want to wave or not. I'm preaching to somebody that hears God saying to you, this is my teaching. This is my series. I want to be free. So that last week we talked about being free from, look at me in East Cleveland, the bondage of sin. Well, let me give you a couple more things you need to be free from, and we'll pick it up wherever we pick it up. Number two, I want to be free from mental and emotional bondage and strongholds of every kind. free from mental and emotional strongholds of every kind. Someone has truthfully said that a stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness. It is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness. A stronghold, something that's holding me strong. God says you're free from that. What do you mean? Some of you, your bills are paid. And here's what trips me out about Christians. We think once we overcome the big three, we the perfect Christian. If it's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I'm free. If it's not sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I'm free. Hey, I ain't sleeping with nobody. I'm in ministry. I'm not on crack. I ain't dealing with nobody's husband. I'm not in clubs no more, so now I'm free. Oh, I disagree. You're free in that area. But because somebody's coming to church and singing on the stage does not mean they are mentally and emotionally free. That's why when you join the Word Church, we just don't ask you to give the pastor your hand and give God your heart. No, we also ask you to finish our classes, to go through grief recovery, to deal with our classes on mommies that hurt you, daddies that hurt you, men that can't stop watching pornography. So he's free, right? He got a great job in corporate America. He got this cute wife that looks good on the pictures. He got 2.5 children, a great dog, a nice white fence, but he watched pornography every night, which damages how he makes love to his wife because he's satisfied before he comes to bed. Which throws off everything that they do. So she's free, huh? She's single, she looks all right, but she's dating everybody. She got hurt from other brothers. She can't focus. She thinks she's not loved by God because don't no man want her number right now. She feels like she has no value. Her mama called her names. Her daddy called her names. His brother been through some stuff. His ex-wife cheated on him. He been through a whole lot of stuff. His kids rejected him. He can't see them every day. His mama called him tramps. His daddy was missing. All type of stuff. She been through a lot. So now all of a sudden, you got emotional and mental strongholds. You'd be surprised the people that I meet who are not free from mental and emotional. Let me make an announcement, and even before you get there, shout because it's prophetic, you free from mental and emotional. Okay, some of y'all looking at me crazy. Anybody like me ever been having a good day and thought yourself into depression? Bills paid, kids healthy, husband right there, great church, but I get to thinking about what I should have done, the move I bust that changed my money, the man I gave too much to that has my child without a daddy in the house. I get to thinking about the pain of my mother, my missing father. It becomes a stronghold. 2 weeks don't go by. Pastor preaches, I feel good. I go home, lay back in my chair. A song can take me there, a television show. Talking to negative people, I find myself back. Let me give you a scripture so this can be biblically based. I'll give it to you from the version you grew up on. Casting down imagination. 2 Corinthians 10:5, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and bringing, look at me, I wish I could preach this, but I got a feeling I'm going to have to take my time because I'll kick myself if in an attempt to get an emotive response from you, I don't give you the substance of this. Look at your pastor. Casting down. Okay, let me give you a version you can feel. The God's Word version, the B clause of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this. We take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. We take every thought captive. Okay, this is not a trick question. In the overflow at every campus, this is not a trick question. What does it mean to take something captive? It's not a trick question. To what? Okay, what does it mean to take something captive? Say it out loud. Would you agree that those three beautiful ladies on the west side that were trapped in that basement for 10 years, that he had taken them captive? Would you agree that a child that's snatched out the playground against their wishes and abducted, would you agree that that man took them captive? So I think you would agree that to take captive means that against your will, I'm going to do with you what I want to. Now, if you understand that, how come you're not shouting? You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. Because 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, you get to take every thought captive. Oh my goodness, y'all still didn't catch it. Which means whether the thought wants to or not, you take the thought against its will, handcuff it, kick it in the behind, get out of here, because you don't run me. Thought, I run you. The scripture says I take every thought captive. You still need some Bible. Philippians 4, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. If it's not helping me, get out of my head. Now, you know what somebody just said? There goes some old preacher syntax. It's cute, but is it doable? Pastor, please do me a favor. Mix or conflate the practical with the theological. It's one thing, it's cute on paper, but make it real to me, Pastor, because it's easier said than done. Pastor, if it was that easy to get these negative thoughts out my head, I wouldn't never think about them. Matter of fact, the more I tell myself not to think about it, the more it jumps in my head. That's what almost gives me a nervous breakdown, because I'm trying not to think about it. And the more I try not to think about it, the more I think about it. You don't think I want this stuff out my head? You think I want to live in 1997? You think I want to live where my ex-husband used to beat me? You think I want to live where I'm trying to get it out my head? But when I deal with present stuff, it takes me back to past problems. So, Pastor, help! I'm preaching to somebody. Good God, I'm trying to figure out. Pastor, whatever other reason I come to this church, because you don't just throw lofty scriptures at me, you usually give me practical ways to implement them. Okay, let me tell you what works for me, so I don't just say this theologically or theoretically, but rather experientially. Because I think by my very nature, I think I'm too critical. I think by my very nature, I tend to see the glass half empty more than half full. I think based on what I've been through, I'm more pessimistic than optimistic in the natural. So I have to put God's super on my natural. Because some people, even without Jesus, are just happy-go-lucky all the time. That's not me. If I'm not careful, I'm a critical thinker. I think too much. I can think myself into a bad place. So, Pastor, what have you done? Let me tell you something practical. Let's give the devil a nervous breakdown. Whenever something negative comes in your head, don't just think about something God did, but say it out loud. Y'all don't believe me. Whenever you sitting back in your chair, in your bed, and your mind start playing tricks on you, say, God, but I thank you that my kids are healthy right now. God, I thank you that you gave me another chance. God, I thank you that my bills are paid. God, I thank you that I got a decent husband. See, while the devil's trying to bring back negative stuff, you start prophesying and thanking God. Praise will break the chains off your mind. Some of y'all don't believe me. So just try for the next 7 days. Whenever you start tripping, say, wait a minute. I take that thought captive, and I replace that thought with the goodness of God. Matter of fact, practice right now. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think about 5 things God did for you this week, and just say it out loud. Go ahead. Matter of fact, practice on your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you don't know like I know. Tell them what the Lord has done for me. Ask your neighbor, can I practice on you? Can I tell you 5 things God did for me just this week? How he kept me, never left me, preserved me, watched over me. I almost crashed. He grabbed my wheel. Angels watching over me. I gotta go, y'all. I gotta go. So everybody in here with a past like me, everybody got a past. Everybody come from some stuff. You did not arrive out of a vacuum. You come from a context. But God has freed you from unhealthy, this is so important. God has freed you from mental and relational strongholds. God has freed you from mental and emotional strongholds. I don't care what happened, no matter what that nasty cousin did to you. No matter what that father with his perverted self did, no matter what that mother with her unhealthy self said, no matter what the ex did, no matter who played you, no matter what money you shouldn't have spent, what job you shouldn't have took, whose wife you shouldn't have been with, whose husband you shouldn't have been with, God said it's under the blood. You can't change it. And when it comes up, go to grief recovery, take all the classes we offer, read your Bible, pray, plead the blood over it, and then call yourself free. And when somebody bring it up, say, don't even remember, it's behind me now. Why would the dog return back to the vomit that made him sick? Matter of fact, give your neighbor a high five like this. Say, I can't look back because I might go back. That's the best I can do. I can't even turn around. From now on, I'm giving my high fives like this. I'm not even looking back. You got to slap me while I'm walking this way. I can't turn around because I come too far to go back. I feel like preaching. God, I got to get out of here. I got another service, but I feel somebody shout that old things are passed away.